confident that she'll be ready to work tomorrow and then probably trials on Tuesday at Deegan. So that inflammation coming down all the time with Yankee Rose, that's good news for Derby Racing and the owners of Yankee Rose. And no decision has been made on the racing future of Calliope. We know the she got down in the barrier stalls there real bad on Saturday. She had to go to hospital for a few days. She needs 3 months off anyway, so there'll be no rush on what the future is with Calliope, whether it's racing or in the breeding barn. That's it for Racing HQ. Looking forward to Tab Talk coming up. Ben Dorries to talk all sorts of sports and racing. The racing guest is on Tab Talk. Matty McGoran talking about his Grafton rides. And then at 10.30, it's Chinwag. It's back 10.30 every Thursday. Chinwag with Sean Cosgrove. And this morning, his guest, Adrian Bosch.
Sky Sports Radio has built a quality team of form analysts for the upcoming Spring Carnival. Saturday mornings after 11, catch the likes of race caller Darren Flindell and racing and sports Simon Denopoulos as they preview Sydney racing. Plus Peter Ellis with his Adelaide tips.
And with the favourite, probably just a slight concern on the ground, but certainly it's forming better grade.
All this and more, Saturday mornings from 11 on your racing leader.
Always a winner.
Sky Sports Radio.
On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
First, Eastern Distributor inside the main tunnel, that's southbound lane 1. Milperra, the M5, just below Henry Lawson Drive, looking at an accident. Eastbound, that's in the breakdown lane. We'll get a car broken down the Horsley Drive there at Mitchell Street, Carramar. Now at Cranbrook, the northern road at 5th Avenue. Car and truck accident, serious accident. We've got closures in both directions there. Now, my Freedom members save 25% on everything at Freedom, from a sofa to sink to the little things you love. 25% off everything ends Monday at Freedom. Joining fees apply. I'm Silvio on Sky Sports Radio.
Sydney comes to life this September through November at the Sydney Spring Carnival.
And they're off and racing.
Big trackside Saturday, September 10th, when Group 1 Racing returns to Rosehill Gardens with the DeBortley Wines Golden Roast Stakes. Cheer our best three-year-olds home as they strive for the lion's share of a cool $1 million. It's also your chance to splash your favourite silks and enjoy the finest hospitality. Book your tickets today at theatc.com.au. The Sydney Spring Carnival. It's where Sydney comes to life.
All the King's Horses, the Bart Cummings story, is on DVD.
Everything was done the right way. It was done his way.
He had absolute faith in what he did.
He took horses to another level and made them champions.
Demanded excellence at every stage of the training process.
1-4 in a Melbourne Cup. That's as good as Bradman's batting average.
We commemorate the legacy of the Cup's King on the extended, unseen DVD version with bonus features.
Winning life well lived on a betting ticket.
Available from August 18.
A massive jackpot has landed. This Saturday, there's a massive $100,000 quaddy jackpot up for grabs at Rosehill Gardens. First leg is race 6 at 3:10. Plus, this Saturday night, there's a huge $20,000 quaddy jackpot at Tabcorp Park Menangle. First leg is race 5 at 7:53. So get your mates together and have a crack at your local tab. Tab.com.au or on your mobile. Gamble responsibly.
At Bingley, buy any Fisher & Paykel dishwasher and receive a bonus year's supply of Fairy dishwashing tablets. A fantastic bonus from Fisher & Paykel and Bingley. Conditions apply. See bingley.com.au or in-store for details.
There are gates open, they're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic.
The very latest in racing and sport from around the country. Welcome to Tab Talk.
And good morning, everyone. 10:06 with Sean Cosgrove and from tab.com.au, Jared Middleton. Morning, Jared. How are you, mate?
Yeah, really well, Cozzy. One round left in the AFL, two left in the NRL. Group 1 racing returns this weekend. And, well, we got Matty McGoran on a little bit later, too. To give you an idea of his rides at Grafton there today, he's a $1.25 favourite with tab.com.au in the Jockey Challenge.
Yeah, well, hopefully he'll find a winner of 3-4 today too. That's the object of the exercise, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, a few of his runners are at decent prices as well, not too short. So, it'd be interesting to get his thoughts.
It will. Now, Ben Dorries joining us. Always look forward to reading Ben in the Courier Mail. Morning, Ben. How are you?
G'day, lads. I'm very excited. I've been promoted up the batting order on your show. Normally, I sort of come in at number four, sort of second drop and find it around a bit. But I'm aiming today.
Are you off your deathbed, most importantly? You were a bit crook last week, mate.
I've come good, mate. I've definitely come good. I was laid low for a couple of days there. Got on the quadril. Drank a bit of rum and coke, as we do here in Queensland, and I'm as good as gold now.
Well, the rum and coke's merely a carrying agent taking the quadril into your bloodstream.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? That's the way it works. Exactly. I know that from experience. Now, North Melbourne yesterday, was it a case of shooting Bambi?
Well, look, in some cases it was, getting rid of Boomer Harvey and a few of their other great players, or certainly long servants. But you know what? It shows me, lads, that there's just no fairy tales, or very few fairy tales, in professional sport these days, is there? It is, as much as we call it sport, and it is sport, it is a business, isn't it? And, you know, I'm sort of on the fence, I guess, a bit with this one. I can certainly understand all the people howling about, you know, what about this bloke? You know, he's in some of the form of his life. You know, it is shooting Bambi. But having said that, I mean, he turns 39 next year, Brent Harvey. And when is the right time to sort of move someone on? I mean, you know, there is no good time, really, is there? So, look, I can certainly understand what North Melbourne have done. I mean, he can't play forever. Brent Harvey strikes me as the sort of bloke he probably would have played forever. He probably would have played till he was 60, like Shane Warne used to threaten to do. But, look, I mean, I can't really get into the club for doing this as much as others are. And you know what? I mean, people are saying, you know, this will tear apart the club and whatever, but I've got a feeling it might have the opposite effect in the finals. I mean, don't you reckon North Melbourne will be hungry as this weekend and during the finals to send these guys out winners? Of course they will.
Ben, it's interesting. One aspect put forward from former Premiership player David King, he said, why do it by press release?
Yeah, fair point. I mean, I think I don't have any objections necessarily with what they've done, but I think they handled
there
it pretty poorly, didn't they? I mean, you only have to contrast it with Dane Swan retiring the other day, and I think Dane Swan retiring wasn't any great secret, was it? I mean, he's basically, since he injured himself in round one, he's very much been sort of on the way out. But, you know, there was a glorious press conference and you know, realms of stuff on Twitter, and the club put out a lot of stuff. And contrast that to sort of the very quick exit, I guess, Brent Harvey's been shown. So yeah, certainly you make a good point there, Cozzy.
Yeah,
not the way I would have gone about it, but, end of the day, I can understand their reasoning.
Yeah, there's a big difference, though. Dane Swan wanted to do it. So, for instance, the players wanted to know, firstly, whether they'll be playing next year or not. They wanted to know soon, now, basically. So the club made a decision. And then the players didn't want to front a press conference. So the club is caught out here. They actually bowed to the players' wishes here. So the club can't win, as far as all the commentary around doing it at the right time, making a decision that the players wanted, whether it was the right one or not, just to the timing of it. So, I mean, I feel for North Melbourne here. They've done exactly what the players wanted to do. Now they're being castigated for it.
Yeah, for sure. And you look back to what I said at the start. I mean, there is no fairy tales in professional sport, or very few. For every sort of, you know, Steve Waugh sort of grand tour of Australia farewell, there's plenty of great players in footy codes and other sports that get to the end of their career and sort of, you know, there's no sort of charging out the door. It's very much being shown the door. So, look, that's the way professional sport is going, like it or not, I guess, guys.
If you look at Boomer Harvey, and you say, all right, he's 38, 39, he's still a superb athlete, he's playing well. If GWS weren't where they were now, he might have been a nice fit a la Stevie Johnson there, but their young ones have matured, and that sort of probably closes the door a bit for him there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, but I mean, it's interesting, isn't it, that Boomer Harvey said himself all through the season that no matter what happens, he's going to be a one-club player, you know, this is it for him. But having said that, I mean, if the passion still really, you know, burns brightly, and it certainly seems to, he certainly seems to think he's got, you know, another good year in him, and his family spoke very passionately on his behalf yesterday with the Herald Sun in Melbourne. I mean, look, perhaps a door might open for him somewhere, but look, bottom line, guys, is we are talking about a champion of the game, but we are talking about a rising 39-year-old. I mean, he's no spring chicken. I mean, he's best football. He's been terrific this year, don't get me wrong, but his best football is well behind him, I would have thought.
And three others as well, Ferrito, Del Santo going as well. There's a few of them moving out, aren't there?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I've got a few bets for you this week, boys, a few rough bets in both footy codes, and one of them is North Melbourne against GWS. They're $2.75, I think.
Yeah, they are.
Against GWS. Look, my only catch-22 with this one is by the time this game rolls around, it may not mean a whole lot, in terms of North Melbourne's position on the ladder. But I reckon, I mean, everyone's saying that this is going to tear the club up. I think it'll have exactly the opposite effect. I think $2.75 is terrific odds for North Melbourne against GWS with all this emotion going on. And don't forget, yeah, sure, they've been pretty ordinary the last couple of months, North Melbourne, but they won all those games at the start of the season, didn't they? I mean, you don't do that unless you're a pretty darn good side. So I think that's one of them. I think there's a few other value bets too, lads. I think the Gold Coast Suns at $3, and you might laugh when I'm tipping the Gold Coast Suns, but this is against Port Adelaide. One of my old punting theories, lads, is when you have two bad sides taking on each other, you certainly look for the value. And Gold Coast Suns at $3 at home against Port Adelaide, who, quite frankly, have been absolutely dreadful for most of the season, I think it's good odds. And you know what? Even Collingwood at $4.50 against Hawthorne. Hawthorne are coming back from a real bruising trip to the West. I'm not convinced they are quite the side, or certainly not the side they once were. Their mind will certainly be on the next couple of weeks. I would have thought Hawthorne rather than this week. And Collingwood, they're just one of those sides, aren't they, when no one expects them to win, they find a way to win. So, look, I certainly entertain some chance of Collingwood beating Hawthorne. And if you don't think they can, I think they can certainly cover the line in that game. So just a bit of value around, I think.
Well,
as there normally is in the last round of the year, with some of these results up for grabs.
Precisely. $37, that little treble's paying if you want to get involved, punters. So it was Collingwood $4.50 to beat the Hawks, into Gold Coast $3 to beat Port Adelaide, and at North Melbourne $2.75 to beat GWS. I'll tell you, as far as...
I was just going to say, Ben, you make a good point with that. Backing some of the ordinary sides. My son's been having a good win of late. Like the other day, back Richmond, when they got rolled, he said they're hacks. They'll lead for a while. I'll back him to win and then cash out. And he said these blokes are duds. I'll get beaten. I'll get run over. And he's been winning every weekend. But with all the options Tab offers now, if you think about it, you can back a loser but win.
Well, exactly. And I think Port Adelaide. Okay. They were okay last week in the showdown. But again, I mean, there's another reason to oppose them this week. They played in the showdown last week. They would have got up for that. And this week, they've got to travel up to the Gold Coast. I mean, they can't make the finals. You think their minds are really going to be firmly on this game? I think they'll be more thinking about their end-of-season trip than beating the Gold Coast Suns.
Fascinating game as we cross codes to the NRL. The 7th v 8th, I think, is the one with real ramifications, as well as tonight's game, which we'll touch on. But let's go to Saturday there at Cbus Super Stadium on the Gold Coast. The Titans, $1.77. Penrith, $2.10. The early money sees a slight lean towards the Panthers here. Jarrod Hayne back in the number one jersey will be great to see. Where do you sit on this one, Ben? Because so the Titans have to play the Cowboys too in the last week. I know they're 3 points clear in eighth, but do you think they'd want to win this game?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, to be quite frank, I don't know which way to turn in terms of the betting on this game. But one thing I am looking forward to is actually just watching the game. I mean, who would have thought, lads, at the start of the season, that we would have been earmarking Gold Coast Titans, the Penrith Panthers, on a Saturday night on the Gold Coast as probably the match of the round. I mean, I think it is. And one of the reasons for that, guys, is this terrific matchup of these young halves. I mean, Ash Taylor from the Gold Coast has been absolutely scintillating for most of the season. He's been behind just about everything the Titans have done well. He's been injured a little bit lately, but he is very much a future star of the competition. And what about this Nathan Cleary, this 18-year-old kid from Penrith, who is, of course, Ivan Cleary's son. Nathan Cleary still is at home with his folks, if you don't mind, but he has just had a sensational second half of the season. He looks like the sky's the limit for him in terms of where he's going to end up in the NRL. So, you've got the matchup of those two young guns, and then you've got Jarrod Hayne going back to fullback, and the fact that 7th versus 8th, which is so much to play for. I think this is very much the match of the round. I can't work out who's going to win, lads. You can make cases for either side, but I think it's just one of those games. If you're sitting at home on Saturday night, you've got to watch it.
Oh, I think this game tonight, though, Ben, between the Bulldogs and the Cowboys, because you'd think if the Cowboys are going to defend their title, I mean, let's face it, you want to finish in the top four. They're 2 points off fourth at the moment. This game at Belmore, Jonathan Thurston's return to Belmore, mouthwatering prospect. And as far as the betting is concerned, well, the Cowboys have gone from outsiders to favourites. They're now $1.65, the Dogs $2.30. That market flipped after the results of last weekend. And punters are about, well, it's about dollar for dollar as it stands. Where do you stand on this one at Belmore?
Yeah, I mean, North Queensland haven't played there in a million years, but I'm expecting him to win and win pretty comfortably. I think North Queensland really are the sleeping giants of the NRL guys. I mean, they didn't win the premiership last year for fun, did they? They were a very, very, very good side. And I know they've had their moments in the last couple of months, especially post-Origin. They've probably lost a few unexpected games, and heaven forbid, even Jonathan Thurston's had a couple of ordinary games. I never thought I'd be saying that. But I just think Paul Green, their coach, is a very, very astute guy. He would very much have everything focused towards the business end of the season. I don't think he'd be too concerned their form dropped off there for a while. You can't maintain that pristine form all season. And I think, lads, if you cast your mind back to the first half of the season, what we saw from North Queensland in the first half of the season was every bit as good as what we saw from them in the grand final last season. I think their hunger, their desire, their motivation and their defence, which is a real, you know, cornerstone of winning premierships, isn't it, was terrific. And sure, that has dropped off a little bit in the last month or two, but I can just see them stealing themselves for a real sort of charge towards the semis. They've been there and done that now. They know they can do it. They know they can win away from home. And the Bulldogs, yeah, they're a good, tough side, but I'm not just completely convinced about their attack. I think this is a sort of a, you know, reasonably high-scoring game, which I think it probably will be. I just think the North Queensland Cowboys have got more points in them than the Bulldogs, lads.
Now, the Storms-Broncos game is going to be a good one.
Yeah, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, but I think there's been a bit of backing for the Broncos here. I can't quite understand why. Melbourne have had a pretty good old record against the Broncos. And to me, the Broncos, yeah, sure, they put a few wins on the boards lately, but nothing to really get that excited about. I think Melbourne have been terrific. They've played some good sides. Obviously, they lost to Canberra there. But I think they're just very, very professional, aren't they, Melbourne? And the addition of Cameron Munster to their squad, I think, you know, at the start of the season, or whenever it was when Billy Slater got injured, I think everyone was saying, no Slater, no Storm. Well, this Cameron Munster has stepped in, and he's just been sensational. And their Fijian winger, the Melbourne Storm, don't get me to say his name, lads, I'll mispronounce it for sure. but coming off four tries, he's the NRL's leading try scorer. He is just an absolute try-scoring freak. So, look, to me, all roads lead to the Melbourne Storm in this one, and I think $1.50 on offer. I think you could take that and be pretty comfortable with your bet, lads.
Suliasi Vunivalu is his name. And, 21 tries in his debut season. The last person to do that at the Melbourne Storm is Rael Folau. That was back in 2007. And just on the betting in that game, so the market opened at $1.36 Melbourne, $3.25 Brisbane. Now, it's now $1.50 Melbourne, $2.65 Brisbane. But we opened the market about 10, 11 days in advance. So there's obviously an adjustment after the weekend's results, last weekend's results. So that's what the adjustment is, because I can tell you all the money is for Melbourne. There's barely a dime for the Broncos there. So if this continues, Melbourne will get closer in towards their opening price, because $1.50 does look pretty generous, I reckon. I reckon they're just about morals. And Brisbane's worst opponent, well, their worst record against any opponent is the Melbourne Storm by a country mile. Now, what's happening there at the Broncos? You got James Roberts. What did you make of the punishment? He got $20,000. Also, is Matt Gillett on the way out as well?
Yeah, it looks like Matt Gillett, guys, is off to the New Zealand Warriors. I think that deal will be announced sooner rather than later. James Roberts, look, I'm not quite sure what to think of this. He was fined $20,000. He wasn't slapped with a booze ban. You know what? I think it's probably a pretty good thing he wasn't hit with a booze ban, because I just don't think these booze bans really work, do they? I mean, sure, a player abides by them for a couple of months and then has a few sneaky beers and a few more sneaky beers. So I don't think there's ever really been a booze ban that's worked all that well. But by the same token, I mean, this kid he's not a kid anymore. He's just got to, you know, take ownership of his own career and take a bit of responsibility. I mean, this isn't the first time. I mean, this time he was, you know, caught on the drink and just making a menace of himself at a hotel up here in Brisbane. You know, probably not the crime of the century, but pretty stupid stuff. You know, the day before they were training the Broncos very early in the morning. And he's got history with this sort of stuff, James Roberts. So, look, sooner or later, it's going to have to sink into him, because he is a very good player. He's very speedy, very quick. But there's a million of those in rugby league history, isn't there? He's going to find out very soon. If he keeps stuffing up, he's not irreplaceable, James Roberts. So he's going to put his head down.
Wayne Bennett was sort of putting his head on the line for him, didn't he? Gave him the chance, gave him another go. Been a lot of comments around that Wayne's been pretty quiet through all this, though.
Yeah, well, it's a very interesting point you make, Cozzy. I know, you know, Wayne Bennett does very much have a softer side to him and does, you know, I mean, he was, you know, tried to recruit James Packer, not James Packer, who am I thinking of? The Newcastle Knights player who went to jail there for a while. Not James Packer.
Russell Packer.
Russell Packer.
Russell
James
Packer.
Hi, James. I'm sure you're listening to this show, lads. I'll be
there, there goes your house. Kiss your backside goodbye.
Yeah, how good am I going on number four next week?
You've just paid for the main course for Mariah at the wedding.
but Wayne Bennett does have a bit of a history of reaching out to some sort of troubled characters and giving them a second chance. But, I mean, in the case of James Roberts, I mean, look, you know, again, not the time of the century. He hasn't been arrested or anything. But there's just a pattern of behaviour there that when he gets on the drink, nothing good happens. And, look, these lads don't, I mean, they only have, you know, a peak sort of earning potential of probably 10 or 12 years, these footballers. And there's so many of them stuff up like this. I can't believe it. I mean, if I was on their sort of money, even if I did fancy a drink or a pretty good time, I'd just put my head down for 10 years, put the cash in the bank. And then when I'd, you know, you're a long time retired, when you finish playing, you can get on the sort as much as you want, can't you, lads? So it's,
It's their business. One of the best lines I've heard was from a coach in a football club. I won't say where, but one of his players stuffed up like that. He hauled them all in and laid the law down in front of the entire staff of the club. It was one of the best things I've done because a mate of mine worked there. He said they couldn't believe it. And he said, you are getting paid the equivalent of the CEO of a company. Behave like one, not an imbecile.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I'm sick of these misbehaving.
It was a good line.
And you know what? Everyone's entitled to a second chance, aren't they? But I mean, this James Roberts has had 2, 3, 4, 5 chances, so when is enough enough?
Yeah, exactly. All righty, you got a good thing for us?
I have. I've got a super, super A-grade, gilt edge, golden, absolute money in the bank special.
Oh,
how's it going? Good, that sounds.
I'll ring James Packer now and tell him.
Now, listen, I cannot believe that the Sydney Roosters are $2.45. Against Cronulla on the weekend. I just cannot believe it. Cronulla, to me, the wheels have completely fallen off there. They're getting the wobbles like they normally do at this end of the season. They're going like bastards. Their heads are just in the wrong space. They're thinking about finals and all sorts of things. Their best football is terrific, but their worst football is diabolical. They've been terrible lately. And the Roosters, to mine, they are clearly the best side that won't be playing in the finals. They have hit their straps and they've been playing really, really, really well. So $2.45 about the Roosters is just money for Jan. I mean, it's like picking money up off the street, lad.
Oh, there you go. Listen to the confidence there.
Isn't it amazing now you've got 2nd v. 14th? And we're talking about 14th being a good thing in the second last round of the season. It's astonishing. Yeah. Exactly, I agree that the Sharks have just, in the last 3 weeks, have just, I don't know what's gone wrong. It's unbelievable to think they won 15 straight. And saying that, we're holding slightly more money on the Sharks at this stage, but it'll be interesting to see how that market settles, because back at Southern Cross Group Stadium, though, yeah, it's a fascinating game. That really is a fascinating game. Just lastly, Ben, last week on Tab Talk, you were talking about horses for courses and picking, you know, specialist players that play well in some continental conditions as far as the Australian cricket team is concerned. And you put the article on Twitter. And Mitchell Johnson had a bit of a crack at you, I noticed.
Oh, a bit of a crack. He didn't miss me. I'll tell you what, I thought it was a pretty harmless old article.
Same.
Just giving him abuse as to what went wrong. And I think Blind Freddie could see, lads, that, you know, with Australia losing 3-0 over there in the subcontinent, which continued a pattern of basically 30 years of losing over there, that there need to be some pretty significant changes in the way we go about things over there in terms of selection and what have you. But, yeah, no, Mitchell didn't miss me on Twitter. He absolutely gave it to me and said I was nowhere near Sri Lanka, and what would I know? But I don't think Mitchell Johnson was anywhere near Sri Lanka for that tour either. I don't think you needed to be sitting in the dressing room over there to know that the Australian cricket team had some pretty big problems on that.
He just pushed you over the touchline. That's all he's done, Benny.
Well, hey, listen, boys, I'm happy to take him on Twitter, but if he wants to bowl to me in the nets, I'll be running in the other
direction. That's it. You just bolt. Go for your life. Mate, good to catch up. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Ben.
Good on you, lads. Cheers.
Thanks a lot. Ben Dorries there from the Courier Mail. Always great to catch up. Then 25 past 10, Sky Sports Radio. Matt McGoran's got some nice rides today. Grafton, he'll be going there. Full of confidence. I reckon he's with us now. Morning, Matt.
G'day. How are you?
Good. Now, the first day of the day, you line up on Gold Talk. You've ridden this in a trial. You ran second on to Coffs the other day. They've given it another trial. Any reason for that, do you know, Matt?
Yeah, they gave him another trial at Tyree the other day. I think it was just because I think it was about 5 weeks between runs.
Yeah.
with Coffs Harbour being off, and they had to scratch in the other day at Newcastle, so I'd say they've just given him a nice easy trial at Taree the other day, just going into this just to top him off. But, you know, Benny Looker tried him the other day in the trial, and he never let him get out of second gear, and he towed him over the line, the horse, so looking forward to getting on his back.
It's been difficult with meetings washed out, hasn't it? When you miss a run here, it's often hard to play catch-up.
Oh, definitely. You know, Jenny said this horse, she got it from Sydney, and, you know, he's only had one run for her, but it was behind a very nice horse in Lock and Load at Cost, and she's probably unlucky to run into a horse of that calibre that come up from Melbourne for the carnival. She was probably unlucky to run into him, but his form's looking really good going into this.
$2.70 on the second line of betting there, Gold Talk. I'll tell you what, Matty, there's been some really good money for your runner here in race two. The Toppy Blinking Fast from the inside draw has been $7.50 to $3.80 this morning for Sue Grills. Second in a trial at Tamworth on a heavy 10. And you rode it its only start as well, and that was when it was, fourth there at Grafton back in April.
Yeah, I'm glad there's been a fair bit of money for it, because the horse that beat it the other day in the trial, come out to win it at I think it was Dubbo 2 days ago, and it won by 5 lengths going away from the field. So, you know, I'm glad I wasn't the only one to think that it was a nice ride, but, you know, the form's, you know, they both trialled on the heavy track at Tamworth, and, and then that horse come out to win by 5, you know, on another heavy track. So you'd think this horse could handle, as long as he handles this heavy track today at Grafton, you know, he should be running a really nice race.
Yeah, actually, I watched that race with Nick Ashman the other day. Yeah, it was well backed as well. Sun Craze it was beat it in the trial, and it lapped them at Dubbo and on a heavy track as well there the other day. So 7.50 to 3.80 there, Blinking Fast, Cozzy.
No pressure on you there, Matty. On to the third.
Not at all.
Out of the third, you're on Red Bowers here for Matty Dunn. You won the Newmarket at Willembar on this 3 starts ago. He's been racing in top company, this horse.
He has, you know, and stepping back to this sort of grade today, you know, he gets in good, but he does have to carry 59, but, you know, he deserves to carry it. I know he does have to run against a nice horse in February in that from the Neil Gobalt yard, but, you know, this horse stepping back in grade, you know, he should be into this up to his eyeballs. You know, he's drawn tricky, but he'll probably get back. And it's only a small field, so he won't have too much ground to make up.
Tell you what, he can't draw a barrier, can he?
No, he can't. I think there's only 5 or 6 in it now after scratching, so it shouldn't play too much of a part, I wouldn't think.
All right, we go to your next ride then, and that's Bring It in race 4. What do you know about Bring It?
I trialled this horse early last preparation, and he trialled really nicely, and I liked the horse, but he sort of didn't really show up like prep as much as I thought he would. You know, without wrapping him, you know, I thought he was a nice horse, but you know, he's in a good yard, and Matty knows how to get one right, so he wouldn't be bringing him here today if he didn't think that he was close to the mark. So, you know, he's out of 2-year-old grade now, so he's 3-year-old. You know, he's authorised, he's by authorised, so this might be his preparation, I'm hoping.
He's gone 3.30 to 3.70. That's race 4, number 12, Bring It. You've had a couple of scratchings in the next couple of races. Race 7, number 7, you've got Pairs from Barrier 6. It's the $3 favourite with tab.com.au. You just had the one win from the 4 starts. Was 3.5 lengths off them there at Corindai last start. And it won at Scone. It was 50 to 1 there when it won at Scone prior.
Yeah. Not many people liked it when it won, but it seemed to have fell in that day, but, you know, as you say, it only got beat just 3.5 lengths or something at Corindai, and that was a soft track, so it runs into another, it's a heavy track here today, but, you know, the breed seemed to like the going, so you couldn't say that it'd run a bad race. Jenny's a really good country trainer, you know, she's out there at Tamworth, and she definitely knows how to get one right, as we all know, so definitely looking forward to getting on it.
Now, freestanding riding the last, Matty, and stepping up to the 1,200 today, this will suit it better, won't it?
I think it will, yeah. You know, we're drawing a good gate, you know, which always helps over the 1,200 at Grafton. And the horse, you know, it's run at Coffs Harbour on the heavy track was pretty good. You know, it only got beat two lengths, and Coffs Harbour is one of the hardest heavy tracks for a horse to handle. And Kathleen's horses have been going really well. I rode a horse for a Taree over the carnival, which hit the line really strongly. And this horse, when it broke its maiden, it beat a horse called Soul Train. And Soul Train's come out to win a couple. And, you know, it's also got form behind like horses like Lucinate and things like that, which have won two races since this horse has run up against it. So it should be right around the mark. You know, it's been running up against handy horses and sticky tracks. So with a good draw today, it won't be too far off them, and it's fit enough to be doing the job.
All right. Now, what's your pick today, Matt, of yours?
I like the horse in the first, but, you know, to be honest, I thought I had, before the wet weather came, I thought I had the best book that I've ever had. I really did on paper. Everything read well. I've been riding a few of them, and they've been going well, and... But after scratchings and things now, you know, I still like the horse in the first.
Goal talk.
And the horse that the money's for, Sue's horse, you know, if the form stands up behind that horse that beat it the other day, you know, it's got to be around the mark.
All right. Well, Matty, good luck today. Good to catch up with you. And we'll hopefully see you in the winner's stall smiling broadly.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Good on you, Matty. Matt McGoran joining us. He's got a nice book of rides today, too. Jared?
And that's why he's the $1.25 favourite in the jockey challenge, as I mentioned earlier. But race one, number three, Gold Talk, $2.70 on the second line of betting there. And race two, number one, Blinkin' Fast, $3.80 in from $7.50. And, well, they're the two he's picked out there, but $1.25 in the jockey challenge. And it's amazing, Cozzy, isn't it, the amount of times when we do Tab Talk and the jockey or trainer who we speak to goes and has a day out that afternoon. I mean, Claire Nutman, what did she ride when we spoke to her last week? Stradazzle from memory.
That's right, big
which
odds.
Which won at 10s, and I think within about 10 metres after she went past the winning post, she texted me and just reminded me of we've just got another one over the line.
There we go. Well, it's nice to get winners for people. Good on you, Jared. Talk to you during the day. Thanks, Jared Middleton there, tabacom.au. 27 to 11, Sky Sports.